Psalm 55 and Psalm 61. We'll start in Psalm 55. We'll read the first 8 verses of that psalm, and then we'll go to Psalm 61, and we'll read the first 8 verses there, the entire psalm, and Psalm 61. But let's start in Psalm 55, and then we'll go over to Psalm 61. Psalm 55, let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 55 and verse number 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, and then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Now, if you'll go over with me, just probably a page over in your Bible, to Psalm 61, and we'll read this entire psalm. Hear my cry, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing unto thy name forever, and that I may daily perform my vows. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we embark on a series of messages, Lord, and we lay the foundational message of this series, Lord, that you'll prepare our hearts, dear God, and help us over the course of this month as we put this, I think, very needed subject under the microscope. I pray that you would encourage and bless and help and Lord, heal and all of the things that you would like to do for us through your word. We pray for those that may be here without Jesus Christ as their Savior. I pray, Lord, that they would be saved today. And Lord, I pray, dear God, for Christians, dear Lord, that you'd bless each and every one and strengthen them with your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. At the beginning of every year, I sat down and I really, in the months leading up to the beginning of every year, about October of every fall, I began to look into the next calendar year. And I spent October and November and December praying and asking the Lord for the emphasis for the next year, the theme. And also, one of the things that I do is I develop for the next year what I call a preaching strategy. Now, what that is basically just a breakdown of the year, the 52 weeks that we'll have, the 52 Sundays, the 52 Wednesdays. And I prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to kind of give me some guidance as far as what subjects to preach on, as far as whether or not to preach through a book, an entire book. For instance, in our Sunday school hour, we are teaching this year through the book of Revelation. And if you haven't been in on that, jump in on it, because I'll tell you, we're getting into now the tribulation period, and there's some things that people need to hear in this day and age. But that was decided last fall. I look at what book of the Bible, look at what subject. I may take a month and emphasize a certain something that I feel like the Lord would have, and I just pray about it. And of course, I stay open to the Holy Spirit, even though I have a general plan by the beginning of the year of what I'm going to preach when, whatever the Holy Spirit leads, and he can change that, that's fine. At the beginning of this year, I had targeted to preach 4 Sunday mornings, and I just decided we're going to do it this month. 4 Sunday mornings on this subject, what to do when you are overwhelmed. I preached this series, 4 or 5 years ago at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I will tell you this, of all of the Sunday morning series I've ever preached, we had more feedback and people that seem to be helped and blessed. It seems like, folks, the honest truth is life is overwhelming at times. It just is. And I don't care how strong you are, and I don't care how self-sufficient you try to be, and I don't care how much you just, you know, put the best foot forward and go forward no matter what. It seems like there's times when life just really, truly overwhelms you. And I want to help our church. I want to help you. You may not be at that place in your life, and you may not be at the beginning of this, but something may happen this month, and you may be there by the end of the month. You may be there now, and hopefully by the end of the month, you'll be back on your feet. But there's not a person at times that doesn't just get overwhelmed. David spoke a lot about this, the great psalmist. He understood the mountain peaks of life. David lived a lot of mountain peaks, but he also lived through a lot of valleys. And his life reflects that in what God gave him to write through inspiration. So we see that David uses the word overwhelmed many times in the Psalms. Psalm 55:5, fearfulness and trembling are upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Psalm 77:3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. He wrote this in Psalm 78:53, and he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. I want you to remember that. It's not talking about David being overwhelmed, but it's very interesting that he uses that word overwhelmed in the context of a sea overwhelming the enemy. Psalm 124:4, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Again, the idea of being flooded upon. Psalm 142:3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. Psalm 143:4, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. So David understood here in Psalm 55, 77, 78, 124, 142, 143. Folks, these were written at different times in his life, but all of these mention times in his life when he was overwhelmed. Now let me explain what that means. Preacher, what does it mean to be overwhelmed? If you look at the definition of the word, and you go back into the Hebrew and look at the definition, it literally means to shroud or to clothe. Hence, from the idea of darkness, to languish, to cover over, to fail, to faint, to become feeble, be overwhelmed, to swoon. Now, we have this word connected to the idea of a flood or the sea overwhelming. In verse 53 of chapter 78, Psalm 124, verse 4, David said, then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul. Isn't that interesting? And so David understood what this meant. And that's probably a good visual illustration of what it means to be overwhelmed. It's almost like that you have a flood has come upon you. A dam broke. And here comes the water. And its force is unstoppable. And you know what? It picks you up and it envelops you and it takes you and it you know, when people are overwhelmed in a sense in their soul and in their spirit, they literally begin to feel almost as if they're drowning. Things have become out of control. By the way, you can do a study of Bible characters and you'll find that some of the greatest Bible characters faced times when they were just overwhelmed. I mean, do you realize as great a leader as Moses was, and a greatest Christian as he was, two different times, he literally came to the Lord and asked God to kill him. I mean, he was overwhelmed with what God had asked him to do to the point where he said, God, just take me home. I can't do this. I mean, when you get to that point, you've been overwhelmed. We see it in the life of Hannah, by the way, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, when she had a burden that she carried, and the burden became so heavy upon her that she quit eating, and she became fixated with this, and she became overwhelmed with it. And she went to the temple, and she cried out unto the Lord and fell upon her face, and Eli looked over at her, and the Bible says she was in bitterness of soul. And her husband came and tried to console her. And by the way, she had a wonderful husband. He said, hey, and the issue in her life was that she wanted children. And she couldn't have children. And she just literally got swallowed up and overwhelmed with this. And her husband came and said one of the sweetest things you'll ever read in the Bible a husband could say to a wife. He said, "Am not I better than thee than 10 sons?" In other words, I don't care whether or not you have children or not. I love you. I care about you. And tried to console her. But you know what? His best efforts didn't help. Didn't help a bit. And she came to the temple and literally fell in bitterness of soul. The Bible says her lips were moving. There was no prayer coming from her lips. Nobody could help her but God. She was in, and Eli thought she was drunk. That's how, I mean, this had taken such control of her that literally he thought she was drunk in the temple because the state this had put her in. We see in the Bible, a man by the name of Elijah, one of the greatest prophets that Israel ever had, if not the greatest prophet Israel ever had. And Elijah's the one that went to Mount Carmel and didn't just face down the 450 prophets of Baal, but also 400 prophets of the grove, one against 850. Remember, one made an altar on one side, one made an altar on the other, and one of them killed a bullock on theirs and prayed to their God. And Elijah set up the contest and said, whichever God answers by fire, that will be the God of Israel. And he won that great victory. But if you go to the very next chapter, 1 Kings chapter number 19, we find him basically running for his life, going out into the wilderness, laying down beside a creek and saying to God, "Kill me, take me home, I'm done with this." You know what he got? He got overwhelmed. He just got overwhelmed. We see this even, by the way, in the life of Jesus Christ. There's moments when he was out in the wilderness where literally God, the Father, sent angels to minister to him. 40 days and 40 nights of intensive temptation in the wilderness. And we see that angels had to come and literally put their hands upon him and minister him and strengthen him after he went through this 40 days of physical fasting and spiritual torment. You know what? He reached the point where he needed something divine. We're talking about the Son of God here, folks. How about Gethsemane? When he gets down and he prays, and he, the Bible says he sweats, as it were, great drops of blood. And you know what? He wanted somebody to pray with him, somebody to understand what he was going through. He gets to the point where he cries out to the Father and said, "Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, let not my will but thine be done." You know what? Even the Son of God, who took human form, felt times when his spirit and his soul was being overwhelmed. We can see this in the life of the great apostles of Peter and Paul, and we could go on. I know personal illustrations. I mean, folks, if you've lived a life very long and you've interacted and tried to help with people, I know that you've run into folks that have just become overwhelmed. Maybe a member of your family. Maybe you've gone through some of this. Say, "Preacher, what do you mean? How do you know if somebody's going through this?" We'll go through the symptoms in just a minute. But I've watched God's people at times just get overwhelmed. I've watched people in full-time ministry. I've watched preachers at times literally just come to the end of their rope. I've watched, by the way, sad the stories that come. You'd be shocked how many times preachers, and by the way, do a little research on this. Ask a few Christians around. Ask some evangelists to travel. They'll tell you stories. How many times, I can tell you one story about a pastor, by the way, went to Sunday morning service, had a great crowd, preached, had people saved, and went back, shook everybody's hand, and just seemed like he was all right. Later on, as they come back for Sunday night church, he never left his office. He went in there, took a gun, and committed suicide. You say, how can a preacher do something like that? Let me tell you what happened, folks. He got overwhelmed. I could tell you about missionaries. I've taken the calls in my office, calls that came from the other side of the world. And literally, a preacher, a missionary saying to me, "You need to talk to my wife. And get on the phone with a wife that is just, you can just tell, I mean, just absolutely at the end of her rope. At the end, she's overwhelmed." I've met men, preachers, missionaries that have done this. I can tell you personal stories. But what I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. This is common. This is going to happen. It's probably going to happen sometime in your life. If you've lived life very long, you've probably had times where you're looking back saying, "Preacher, I've gone through things kind of like that." Sometimes we know that we have to face them or we're in the middle of them, but we don't know what to do about them. Now, I've done the best I can to define what it means to be overwhelmed. I'm not talking about you have a couple problems. I'm not talking about you're going through a little tough time. I'm not talking about you're facing just a trial or two. I'm talking about you get shrouded by darkness. You get become clothed and enveloped in darkness. This begins to overwhelm. David wrote that the stream had gone over my soul in Psalm 143. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed. Your soul is overwhelmed. Your spirit's overwhelmed. What are the symptoms? How do you know if a person is going through something like this? If you'll go back to Psalm 55, verse number 1, I'm going to go down through this psalm and share with you some of the symptoms of being overwhelmed. By the way, this is important that you learn this, not just so that you can help yourself one of these days, but so that you can help other Christians, other people in your life. What are the symptoms of being overwhelmed? Psalm 55, 1, notice this. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Watch this. One of the first symptom of becoming overwhelmed is you become convinced that you've been divinely forsaken. All right. Would you be as honest with me as I'll be with you? Have you ever been there where you feel like even God is not hearing me? I can't find God. I can't get a hold of God. You become convinced that you're divinely forsaken. God's given up on me. I've heard preachers say, God. I've heard kids or people in my office say, preacher, God doesn't love me. God doesn't hear me. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't want me. And I'm going to show you if you'll stay with me. And I don't know how far we'll get this morning. We'll go as far as we can. And now that you're here, you do know that you have to come back for every Sunday in the month of August, okay? And so you've signed up for it. But it would help you to be here for the next 4 weeks, because what I'm going to do this morning is get you really depressed. I'm going to give you all the symptoms and tell you how horrible it is and all of that. And I'm probably not going to get to many of the answers, but if you'll come back, then we will. There's a reason I don't live stream our services, Brother Jeff, because, you know why, but I won't go there anyway. All right, Psalm 55:1, become convinced that you're divinely forsaken. Number two, Psalm 55:2, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Utter sadness and despair. Utter sadness and despair. Somebody begins to become convinced that God's forsaken them, that God doesn't care about them. He loves other people. He don't love me. He helps other people. He doesn't help me. He hears other people's prayers. He don't hear mine. He loves other people. He don't love me. And then this sadness, this despair that can come upon a soul, come upon somebody's life. How about verse number 3? Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Watch this. Beginning to believe that everyone is against you. I'm going to tell you something. As I read these things, I see faces of people that have sat in my office. And as I begin to ask them questions, this is exact. I mean, listen, folks. They believe this stuff. God's forsaken me. God doesn't love me. They're utterly in despair. And I mean, they have a mentality as if the entire world is conspiring against them. My husband's against me. My children are against me. My family's against me. People in the church are against me. Everybody's against me. People at work are against me. And listen, you say, preacher, this is sounding familiar. I'm either going through this or I have gone through this before. I'm going to tell you, watch this. I'm going to go ahead and give you a little hint now. But all of those these things that I'm telling you is a lie. And somebody's telling the lie. You see, the Holy Spirit does not produce this in a person's life. I'm going to pull back the curtain, if you'll stay with me in the next few weeks, and show you where these things come from and how you can get victory over them in your life, okay? But wait a minute. If you continue in that state, notice, if you will, verse number 4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Physical maladies begin to happen. Listen, if your soul is overwhelmed and your spirit's overwhelmed and you don't get help, pretty soon it begins to affect your body. The spiritual attack becomes attack upon your soul, and the attack upon your spirit and your soul, if you do not get help, begins to show up. It affects you physically. Now think about this. He says this, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. Physical maladies, physical attacks. I can think of a preacher friend of mine. His wife went through a time of just being overwhelmed. And during that time, she began to have symptoms, physical symptoms of things wrong, and they took her to this doctor and that doctor and this doctor and that doctor and this doctor and that doctor and this doctor and that doctor. And every one of them finally looked at him and said, there's nothing wrong with her. But she sat there and says, yes, there is. And there are some things that you can't explain. No doctor can diagnose it. And I believe a lot of these things, these unexplainable things, is coming because of the state of a person's spirit and a state of their soul. Look right up here. Let me help you. I've been doing this a long time. There's no way that your spirit gets wrong and your soul gets wrong where it doesn't start affecting your body. It's going to affect your body. Okay? Do you know what they are now concluding is probably the number one cause of most of the physical problems in America today? They would say it is stress. You know what I'd say? I'd say the Bible word. It's people who are overwhelmed and don't know how to get out of it, don't know how to rescue themselves from it. And so, are you with me so far? How about Psalm 40? By the way, let me just have you hold there, but sneak over, if you will, to Psalm 77. If you will, look over there, but hold on to your place in Psalm 55. Psalm 77, verse number 4. Notice what it says here in verse 3. Let's go read verse 3. I remembered God. Psalm 77, verse 3. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. What's some of the physical maladies? Physical attacks. Physical pains, real physical symptoms, as if you're physically sick or something's wrong, sleeplessness, lethargic, lost your motivation. Now see, a lot of times you say, preacher, you're talking about depression. Well, I'm going to stick with the Bible word here. Can I stick with the Bible word? What's happened is somebody doesn't get depressed like they catch a cold. They become overwhelmed, and being overwhelmed produces these things. You see, what we've done is we've handed this issue over to psychologists and medical doctors, and what we need to do is let preachers get back in the pulpit and say, hey, this is no new thing. And the Bible, listen, folks, we're running and we're buying a pill for everything. Chemicals aren't going to fix this. A prescription's not going to fix this. Okay? There's a reason that these things are happening. And so what a lot of times we have to do is get down to the reason that these things are happening, okay? And I mean this, folks. We are a nation of drug abusers. You can get mad at me if you want to. But we've decided as Christians that there's a pill for everything. And what we're doing is we're trying to fix things that are physically showing up in our bodies as being wrong without getting down to the root of where that's coming from. Now listen, I'm not a medical doctor, but I'm a King James Bible Baptist preacher, and I can help you if you'll hang around the next few weeks and listen to what I have to say, okay? Listen to what the Word of God says. That's where the answer is. It's not in Jerry Ross. It's in the Word of God. They begin to have, let's go back to chapter number 55. Not only do they have physical maladies, they begin to have psychological maladies. In verse number 5, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. Notice that? Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And all of a sudden, this goes from not just showing up as physical problems, but psychological problems. People become fearful. They begin to be possessed with fear and trembling. They find that there's certain circumstances of life that if they find themselves in, they just can't handle it. They have a horror comes upon them. By the way, that's what a lot of people call panic attacks. Again, I think the medical field has coined terms to try to label these things. But again, let's get down to what's causing these things. Okay, and are these things real? They're real. I mean, this isn't some made-up thing. If it's in the Bible, and David, who was a man after God's own heart, David, who was a great Christian, if he went through this, there's a good chance I'm going to go through it, and y'all are going to go through it at some point in your life. Listen, it doesn't mean that you're not right with God. It doesn't mean that they're, listen, but I'm telling you, there are times when the devil literally orchestrates a satanic attack against an individual, and I mean he comes at it from every area, and even the Lord allowed that, opened the hedge and allowed that to happen in Job's life. And the Lord may allow those times in your life not to destroy you, but to teach you to go to Him during those times. We ought to be heading to God during those times. Instead of that, we're heading to a doctor. Heading to God, we're heading to a psychiatrist. Heading to God, we're heading to a pharmacist. Let me tell you something. The answer is in God. And there's some very specific things that we're going to cover that we can do. But psychological maladies, verse 55, fear and trembling, horror, panic attacks. Now watch this. Look at 6 through 8 and tell me you have never felt this. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. And there comes a point in time where you know what you want to do? You just want to get away. You want to get away. Watch this. Let me help you with something. You'd be surprised how many times in the midst of being overwhelmed, people make very, very poor judgment calls. Very, very poor decisions. One of the best pieces of advice that I've ever been given in my life and that I've tried to pass along, this isn't original with me, certainly, is this. Never make a major decision in your life while you're being overwhelmed. See, too many people think the answer is to cut and run. You know, if I could just take 6 months off, I'm sure, listen, at the end of 6 months, listen to me, at the end of 6 months, if you were given the money and the resources to do it, at the end of 6 months, I'm not saying that you would not feel a little bit better, but I will tell you this, at the end of 6 months, it would not, all of your problems and all of your issues will be waiting for you the minute that you land back home. Have you ever thought, well, all I need is a vacation? And so you take a vacation. And by the way, sometimes it helps. It just helps to get away. That's why I tell our people, everybody ought to take a vacation. I don't know why some of you need 6 or 8 a year, but you know, we used to have this weird philosophy when I was growing up that you took just a vacation and then you were faithful to everything you did in the church the rest of the year, but that's a little old-fashioned. I'm behind the times, I guess. But what I'm saying, the reason I see people doing so much of that is you're trying to escape something instead of deal with something. Okay? And if you don't deal with it, I don't care how long you're gone or how many times you go, guess what's going to be waiting for you? So listen to what I'm saying here. A desire to flee, a desire to hide. If I could change my circumstance, if I could change my surroundings. You see, it's not me, it's everybody else. If I could just move, it's this marriage, it's this town, it's this church. Hey, have you ever thought maybe it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer? You don't deal with the issues, you're going to take those issues to the next relationship or the next town or the next church. It doesn't matter, you're taking them with you, okay? And so we see the symptoms. Now let's review. Watch this, here it is. All of a sudden, a person goes through a time where literally they feel almost as if their soul and their spirit is drowning. It's shrouded in darkness. It's languishing. It's failing. It's fainting. It's overwhelmed. It happens and has happened to great Christians in the Bible. It happens in this day and age. The symptoms. They become convinced that they're divinely forsaken. God's forgotten about me. He don't love me. He don't care about me. Utter sadness and despair, and they can't even figure out why they feel that way. This belief that everybody's against you. The physical maladies. Physical attacks with no doctor's explanation. Sleeplessness. Psychological maladies. Fear and trembling and horror and panic attacks and a desire to flee. A desire to hide. A desire to run. A desire to just get away. As if that's going to fix everything. Wait a minute, folks. There have been scores and scores and scores of Christians in that condition leave the perfect will of God and never get back. Never get back. You see, somebody's behind the curtain. Somebody's orchestrating this. You're in the midst of an attack, and you need to understand where it's coming from. You need to understand who's behind it. And if once you understand that, then you can begin to do it. Now say, preacher, you can't take us there and not give us something. I'm going to give you 10 things, but I'm not going to give them all to you today. Some of you are glad, amen? Go to Psalm 61. Let me just give you a couple things to take with you to get you started. Listen to me very carefully. I'm going to give you the first two things, and it won't take long. But I want you to just start somewhere. The reason I want to give you something is some of you are remembering what I'm talking about, but some of you are living what I'm talking about. And you're like, preacher, you know what? And by the way, I've been there. I can't wait a week to get help. So I'm going to throw you a little bit of a life preserver. I'm going to help you get through another week, and then we'll help you some more next week. Look at Psalm 61:1. Watch this. This is such a wonderful psalm. Hear my cry, O Lord. Let me read the psalm. Hear my cry, O Lord, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, there's two things. There's two things that you need to do, and we'll get you started, and then we'll give you some very, I promise you, folks, this is going to be practical things. If you'll write this formula, these 10 things down in the back of your Bible, when you get to this place and you will in your life, you're going to know what to do about it. Listen, it's no shame to be there, but it's a shame to stay there. There's help in God. There's help in God. What's the first thing you do? Kneel down. Kneel down. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer. When David gets to this point of being overwhelmed, you know what? He falls upon his face. He begins to cry out to God. Number one and number two is very simple. Number one, kneel down. Number two, cry out. Kneel down and cry out. God, watch this, is allowing this time in your life, watch this, to break you. Well, I didn't want to hear that. Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's trying to break you. Let me tell you something about us as Christians. If we are not broken from time to time, then we are useless to God. Let me have you hold your place there and go back to Judges chapter number 16. Judges chapter number 16. Judges chapter number 16. Here we have a beautiful picture. Well, I've got the wrong reference, so I'm going to have to tell you the story, and I apologize for that. Maybe it's Judges chapter 6. Let's see here. There it is. Judges chapter 7, verse 16. Well, it's a good thing I have the Old Testament memorized, or I could have been in a real pickle there. So. And when they say, if you believe that, I've got some ocean front property in Arizona I'll sell you. Okay? Judges chapter 7, verse number 16. Notice what it says here. This is Gideon. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew their trumpets, watch this, and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now, you say, preacher, what's the story got to do with this matter of being broken? Gideon had 300 men, and he was going to battle against the Midianites who were numbered in the tens of thousands. Watch this. Gideon was overwhelmed. So how did he win it? God said, I want you to take a light, a lamp, and I want you to put a pot under it so nobody can see the light. I want you to take a trumpet. Wait a minute. Where's the sword? They're going to go to war. Doesn't make sense to us. But God says you take a trumpet and you take a light and you put an earthen pot over it. And then I want you to go all the way around and surround the camp. And he said, when I blow my trumpet, I want you to blow your trumpet. And after you blow your trumpet, I want you to break the earthen vessel. And when the earthen vessel was broken, the light shone through. And you know what? The enemy was asleep. It was in the middle of the night. They thought they were secure. all of a sudden trumpets from all around them blow, and there's only 300 guys. But trumpets blow, and the earthen vessel is broken. And when the earthen vessel is broken, are you with me, Christians? Are you with me? The light shones through, and the victory's won. And the honest truth is, our problem is that we aren't broken enough. They preach, I don't like to be overwhelmed. I don't like going through hard things. But you know what? You're well nigh worthless to God if you're tearless. God has to break a Christian before he can use him. I've never seen a Christian get a divine anointing on their life until they've had to go through something that broke them. And all of a sudden, here comes the blessing. You see, God wants to get us on our knees. Come on, what's wrong with them? It'd be nice if we just stayed there, if we just did it voluntarily. But most of us trudge on through life as if we don't need God. So for every once in a while, God brings something in our life to remind us that we're needed. God needs to break you before he can make you what he needs you to be. I talked to Brother Kyle and enjoyed talking to Kyle Klein when he came back from boot camp. And Brother Kyle was very, very honest. And I sat down and talked to him and I said, listen, I want you to know that I prayed for you at boot camp. And he said, thank you. I needed it. He said, Brother Jerry, it was hard. He said, it was hard. By the way, I don't think this would embarrass him because Kyle's very transparent. He said, you know what, preacher? He said, I wept myself to sleep many a night. I wanted to quit. Listen, come on, Marines. What were they doing? I'll tell you what they were doing. They aren't going to make you into a Marine until they break you. They will break you, and then they will make you. Let me just say this. You're never going to be a good soldier of the cross till you get broken. Well, I don't understand. I don't understand God. Why God has let me go through this. Because he's got something great in mind to use you for. And you can't do what he wants you to do in the state that you're in. So you know what he's got to get us? He's got to get us down on our face. He's got to get us down on our knees. He's got to get us where the tears are ready to flow and the brokenness. He's got to get us to the point where we're totally dependent upon him. And so his intent, folks, watch this, is to break us. So what do? You kneel down. You get on your knees. You do what Hannah did when she was overwhelmed. You head to the temple and get on your face and begin to cry and you pour out your heart. The husband's trying to help you and Eli's there and he can't. Listen, the preacher's there and he can't help her and her husband's there and he can't help her. And sometimes, listen to me, God's going to put you in a situation where nobody around you understands it and nobody around you can help you and he's forcing you to him. He's forcing you to him. Because the honest truth is, most of us, when we get in trouble, we want to go find some human that can help us. But God says, I want you to find me. Now, I'm going to teach you something. Go back, if you will, to Psalm 61, if you will. If you saved your spot there, Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Preacher, give me something before we close out this service. Give me something. Here it is. Every single day, many times a day, if you're in the state of being overwhelmed, you've got to kneel down and you've got to cry out. From the end of the earth will I cry. Well, I don't think God hears me. Cry anyway. Well, I don't hear him. Cry anyway. Well, I don't feel like he's... Cry anyway. Well, it doesn't seem to be doing any good. Cry anyway. Cry out to God. God wants you to seek him. If you will, go back to Psalm 55. We're right there in verse number 16. Psalm 55, 16. David says at the end of that psalm where he's talking about being overwhelmed, he said, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. Watch this. Boy, I'm going to tell you this. What a formula. This would help us. This will get us through it. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. And you know what? Spending that time before God causes you to realize that, yes, there's many against you, or at least you think that, but there's many for you also, and God is for you. Hey, if God could send the angels down to minister to Jesus after 40 days, he can send angels down to minister to you. If he can send them down into the gardens, Gethsemane, to give the Savior the strength to stand up and walk to a cross, then he can send somebody to help you. Are you listening to me? Are you getting this? What I want to do is I want to inspire those of you that are going through some tough times. I want to get you to understand that there is help at the throne of grace. And that's what it is. It's a throne of grace. Well, preacher, I don't think it's going to fix my circumstance. I don't think it's going to, well, it's a good place to start. You know, it's better than the psychologist's couch. It's better than the waiting room, because you're going to spend more time in the waiting room than you are the doctor's office. It's better than the pharmacy. Hey, there's nothing that they can do for you that God can't do for you if you're in this state of being. By the way, I know there's times for medical doctors. I get that there's times that we're going to take medicine. But I also understand that there's a lot of things that we're running to doctors for that we ought to be running to God about. Psalm 143, we'll read it and then I'll close in prayer. I'm going to go through this psalm next week, and I'm going to teach you how to pray this psalm. I think a lot of the psalms are prayers. I know they are. I think a lot of times we ought to pray the prayer psalms. What's Psalm 143? What's the first three words here? Hear my prayer. David's getting ready to pray. By the way, he's overwhelmed. He's going to pray the prayer that he prayed here when he's overwhelmed. He's going to show us how to get help. I'll read it and then we'll pray and we'll look at it next week. Psalm 143, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake and for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Watch this. We're done. If I could come to somebody, and I don't know who's where and what's going on in your life, but if I could come to you and write you out a prescription for this week, evening and morning and at noon, I'd say, get on your knees and open your Bible to Psalm 143 and pray through this prayer one phrase at a time, three times a day, for an entire week. You'll be surprised how much better you are this time next week than you are as you walked in the door. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, we do live in perilous times. We live in trying times. And dear God, Satan, I believe, is more active than he's ever been. I believe that he is targeting individual Christians. I believe he's targeting young people. I believe he's targeting marriages and families. And God, help us, dear Lord, to run to you during these times where we're being overwhelmed. Help us to run to the scriptures. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we continue to preach this series next week and the weeks ahead, we'll give your people the things that they need, the ammunition that they need to fight back against these satanic attacks. We pray these things in Jesus' name.